Look at you, hacker. A pathetic creature of meat and bone. Panting and sweating as you run through my corridors. How can you challenge a perfect, immortal machine?
Weekly industry news, reviews, what's great, what's garbage, everything you need to know about video games. Now, along with Andy Reiner, here's the Fan's Paul Charchian.
Good evening, welcome to the show. It is Video Games Weekly on the Fan. This is our one and only show of the month of March. Reiner,
we better make it count.
We better make it count. Now, we do have a show in 2 weeks. So at least we're only missing 1 week, and then we're back.
Are we getting back on schedule?
After that, then it's just up to the Wild and, you know, how many games they play in the playoffs, and if they play on a Tuesday night. And while we'd love to have them not, we'd love to have them go a long while, we'd like for them to not play on Tuesday nights if it's not a problem, if you don't mind. So, we got so much to get to.
Yeah.
We had a show about, I don't know, 3-4 weeks ago. We talked about Fortnite then as this budding phenomenon. Reiner, it's only grown since then. I want to talk to you about that. You spent a lot of time with Sea of Thieves. The Xbox doesn't get a lot of exclusives.
No.
This is one of them. I want to get your feelings. I want to get your impressions of, at least first impressions of Sea of Thieves. I've got a couple of reviews as well from recently released games, including Pit People, another Xbox game that's not on PlayStation, and it's awesome. We'll talk about that a little bit. And another game called Ni No Kuni 2, Revenant Kingdom.
There you go.
We've talked about it on the show for years.
It's a good game.
It might be a great game. Don't translate it like literally over. I mean, just come up with a name that makes sense for our, you know, for our people and, you know, our culture and all our language.
Just call it Revenant Kingdom.
Who wants to even talk about a game called Ni No Kuni 2?
You know, you don't have to put big gaps in it. You could just say Ni No Kuni 2.
Well, I could, but I'm trying to help the listeners out there, because if I string it all together, they will know it's 3 to 4 different words. So we've got that. And more to get to. I also want to talk a little bit of VR stuff. And Will Wright has his first new game in a decade that's starting to shape up, and we've got some early information on that, too. So lots of stuff to get to. We'll also take calls. 1-800-320-5326 is the number if you'd like to participate in tonight's show. Zach, I'm guessing we're on so infrequently, I'm guessing that our promotions team hasn't even loaded our giveaways in.
We got one.
When I go back, when I look in the cage, we have like 50 things in the cage.
Okay.
Locked up in the cage.
I'll have to talk to Mr. Donaldson.
Thank you.
But we got a Polk Striker ZX headset for Xbox One.
Ooh, excellent. Well, at least it's a good one.
You can play Sea of Thieves with that.
Yes, you can. Thanks to our friends at Polk Audio. Let's start here. Let's start with Fortnite, because in the month since we've had a show, everybody is playing it. Kids are playing it. Moms are playing it. Fortnite has gone from, you know, last month when I was saying, wow, this thing's gained a ton of steam from where it was a few months ago, to now just straight up cultural phenomenon with Fortnite.
I heard Cambridge Analytica is jumping ship from Facebook to Fortnite for the midterms.
I like it. Why not? There's probably more money in it.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, everybody's playing it.
Everybody's
we had someone at work who went to his barbershop, and two people that were working there that you wouldn't assume would be playing Fortnite were discussing Fortnite.
How about that?
At length.
Yes. I got guys in my office that are like, oh, my kids are playing it, so I'm playing it. Everybody's playing Fortnite. So now it's out on mobile as well. So now, if for some reason you want to play on your phone, you can do that. You can play Fortnite. You can also play PUBG, which I've played on my phone. It's by the way, the implementation on phone is very good.
Yeah.
But it's still on phone. So it's got all the limitations of a phone game.
Yeah, but you could get a controller for it, right? I don't know if there's a decent controller for iOS. I know there's a dozen plus of them. But
I know there's a bunch out there. Yeah, do any work well? Does there anybody who routinely games with a controller for their iPad or their iPhone or their Android phone or their Android tablet?
Now that we're getting some of these games that are doing cross-platform, that's something we should investigate at Game Informer and figure out if there is a good controller for this. So you can just load up, put the controller in your backpack and go.
If you had a good controller on an iOS, on a phone game, oh, you'd kill everybody.
Yeah, but
you'd just smoke people.
But you're linking up to people on PC and Xbox or PlayStation 4.
Do you think they do?
They do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, at least Fortnite does. Fortnite is PUBG.
Fortnite, I could be playing on my phone against people that are playing on their PlayStation.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Sony lets that happen.
They do, but they don't allow it to Xbox.
Okay.
So you could be
everything but Xbox.
Yeah, you could be instance in a game where it's phone people with PC people with Xbox people.
Yeah.
Or PC people with PlayStation 4 and phone people.
All right.
Sony just won't allow that to happen. They're the ones that are blocking it.
So now, and it's all because of this, it's all because Fortnite picked up the Battle Royale concept that PUBG had and then expanded on it because it's got the crafting, building stuff, mechanics that go into it, which some people feel like, hey, that adds a whole new element to this that they didn't have in PUBG.
Yeah, and it's a little faster too. Like the island's smaller.
Yeah.
I guess it has a little less intensity in the hunting aspect.
Yeah.
Where you're not like out in the field driving in a car. You don't have cars in Fortnite.
Right.
You have those in PUBG. Where you're taking that chance where you're making a lot of noise.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But Fortnite, yeah, it's quicker. I think that's something people like. It's just you'll
the
land
thing
in an area
faster.
With like five people.
Right. And go.
Like you said, the building component where you are fabricating structures in a matter of seconds, like huge towers or defensive shells. That kind of gives it a little bit of a magic element, but it is very cool how it's used. And yeah, they have a great formula. The biggest key to success, though, is being free.
Yeah, that helps, doesn't it?
They released that when PUBG was, what, $30?
Yeah.
And everybody just went over to Fortnite.
I was just going
to
play it there. Sure.
Yeah, to see what the hubbub about what they call a battle royale genre, 1 versus 100. People experimented in Fortnite and fell in love. And like you said, now we have like Drake live streaming, setting records in streaming with 600,000 concurrent people.
Yes.
With a streamer named Ninja who's making $500,000 a month.
There's a guy making $500,000 a month just streaming Fortnite video. Isn't that amazing? No, I can't imagine that. Literally can't. And God bless him, right? That is amazing. This isn't going away anytime soon.
No, this is just going to keep growing.
Yeah, like I said, cultural phenomenon for Fortnite, and more power to them. Hopefully the mobile, I've not played the mobile version of that. I played the mobile version of PUBG, which came out. And actually, the implementation was awesome.
Mobile Fortnite's the same game. It feels the same. I had some frame rate issues a little bit, but it didn't affect me too much.
Yeah.
In competing, so yeah.
Let's talk Sea of Thieves. You got a chance to... they've been working on this thing for like 5+ years, I want to say.
Yeah, this is Rare, the creators of Donkey Kong Country, Banjo-Kazooie, GoldenEye. Remember that?
Yeah, Perfect Dark.
Yeah. This is their new game. For a while, they were making those little avatars for Xbox. You know, the little costumes you'd put on your character?
Yeah.
On like your dashboard or whatever. They finally have a new game out, and it is a 4-player cooperative pirate game where you are sailing the seas. You're working together as a crew. You get a boat and, you know, in most games, you just get a boat and you just jump on it and point in the direction you want, spin the wheel, and there you go, right?
Right.
This one, you need one person to, like, raise the anchor or a couple people to raise it faster.
Okay. Rigging.
Other people need to do the sails.
Okay.
Turn them to catch the wind.
Okay.
As you're
at the wheel,
someone will maybe have to go downstairs to look at the map to see if we're heading in the right direction.
Right.
And then, you know, it's a game where you really want to communicate with each other. I think that's one of the beauties of Sea of Thieves, where it is a multiplayer game where you are constantly talking about what's going on.
Right.
And you're not alone on this world. There are other pirates, other human-controlled pirates that are out looking for the same treasures as you. You will go to docks and you'll see their ship there. And then you ask yourselves, your crew, what do we do?
So, and you, when you say ask, you mean voice.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You're right. Should we dock here and see if they're friendly and go about our business?
Right.
You know, bringing in our treasure chests and all that stuff?
Yeah.
Should we leave? Or maybe one of us jumps off our ship and goes and steals their ship, which you do.
Of course.
Or you go
Wouldn't
on
that land. Be every time? Isn't that what everybody would
That's
do?
That's what we do
steal
at Game
the
Informer.
Other ship?
Yeah. We steal ships.
Of course. But when you're busy stealing their ship, aren't they busy stealing your ship?
Yeah, so we had one
instance. There's only four of you on the team.
We had one instance at Game Informer where one of our guys was on the island digging up a treasure chest.
All right.
We saw a ship parked on the other side, docked on the other side of the island.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of our guys went over and got the ship and took off. And I'm watching through my spyglass. I'm watching this all unfold. And then all of a sudden I hear this sound like snick and I'm dead. One of their pirates came under our ship to steal our ship.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I'm in the afterlife telling our guys like our ship is being stolen as we're taking their ship. And then it just became a ruckus on the island. Like we ended up winning the battle, but getting away with both ships. But
wow. Now, what do you do with two ships then?
You live the pirate life.
So what's the point of
Sea
of Thieves? What is the point of this game?
To get treasure chests.
Okay. Why do I care about that?
Because then you can get better gear, better shovels,
all right,
swords, guns, change your outfit, buy different beards, make yourself look like a more dynamic pirate. The big question we still have is, what else is there outside of this?
Yeah.
Because every mission we've gone on so far in the first like 5 to 6 hours has just been, go get this treasure chest. And there's some fun in that, right? Like there isn't a waypoint. You get a map with an X on it. You go to that island and you have to figure out where that X is.
Okay.
Right? Just like you would be in real life. Like, okay. This is pointing me here. I see a clump of trees on the map. Maybe it's over here.
Yeah.
And you kind of just randomly start digging based on your best guess. There's some fun in that. And when you do hit the jackpot and you get the treasure chest, you put your shovel in the dirt and it makes a clank. You're like, oh, that's awesome.
All right. And how do you know where to, just on the map? There's an X. You're just hoping you're in the ballpark.
Looking. Okay. Yeah. There's been times I've been way off digging like hundreds of holes and nothing.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But outside of that, we don't know if there's depth. There's not much in terms of missions thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know what the reward loop is. Like we could see in shops everything that's there, but is there more than that? The map seems really small. All the islands are tiny. Mm-hmm. Is there more than that? We don't know. So the big question mark hanging
over. Why don't you know? The game's out today.
Because we're just in the opening hours. Like, okay. Is it going to open up and have more? You know, they had a beta out there,
so you didn't get a lot of advanced time.
No,
this game.
No. Like, we were in the beta.
All right.
And that was limited content, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, Microsoft, a day before release, sent us Sea of Thieves. The servers weren't up. Servers turned on day one.
Oh.
So we jumped in with everybody else. And, it's just a matter of waiting to see if there's anything there. The first taste is great. Like, you know, the first impression it makes on you is, this is something different. It's a good co-op experience for four people. Only online. You can't do split screen.
All right.
But it is a game where you are constantly talking and laughing. You know, you could get drunk on your boat. Someone will fall off the boat and you got to throw down the anchor quickly and go get them. There could be sharks in the water, you know, like, and you might lose someone that way. But outside of those opening moments of just kind of goofiness and discovery of like finding treasure chests, we don't know what else there is.
I remember you seeing Sea of Thieves like 2 and 3 years ago at E3.
Yeah.
And you came back going, that thing's garbage.
They put us on a boat and just basically said, get from point A to point B. And that was it.
Yeah.
It was like, okay. And I'm at the wheel and I just have this giant mast in front of me and I can only see slightly.
Did they move
around
the mast since then?
No, I guess it's a little further out on the bigger ship.
All right.
But I'm just like, I can't turn the camera. I'm just looking at wood, listening to my guys like, okay, go left, go south a little bit. And it's like, okay, this is not fun. I did that for 10 minutes, just looking at a giant piece of wood.
All right. So Sea of Thieves sounds more promising, but you've got a lot of concern about depth now.
And we're going through that right now. We should have a review up.
Who's doing a review?
Kyle Hilliard.
Okay.
The closest thing we have to a pirate. And
because he's missing a leg and an arm and the parrot. And the parrot.
Yeah, the bird is a nuisance at work.
Really? They're a nuisance everywhere, aren't they?
But a review should be up in a week or so.
It's just, it's sad that that's the reality of so many games now, that you have to wait a week.
Yeah, you got to.
That's how it works.
You have to test the live servers. You have to see how the game is in the wild.
When we come back, I want to do a full review of Pit People. It's a game not many of you know about, and it's really, really good. I'm excited to talk to you about that. Also, Ni No Kuni 2. Revenant Kingdom.
That was better.
That was better? You like that read a little better? There's a colon in there that I gave an extra long pause for to represent the colon, Reiner.
Still need to tighten up Ni No Kuni, but you're
probably
getting better.
Ni No Kuni 2. Ni No Kuni 2. I don't know. Don't love it. And a lot more to get to. Two more segments of Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to Video Games Weekly on The Fan. Paul Charchian, Andrew Reiner, a.k.a. Reiner. Also, at Andrew Reiner.
Yeah.
Is there an underscore in there?
Yeah, at Andrew underscore Reiner. Yeah.
Yes, if you want to follow him on Twitter.
You want to read some really dumb stuff.
A lot of cat photos and nudes.
Yeah. Me, not the cats.
Yeah. I mean, you know, obviously the cats have pants.
Yeah.
Is Diablo coming for the Switch or not? And if it's not, then why in the world did the official Blizzard account put out a photo of the Diablo logo guy plugged into an outlet?
Yeah.
A Switch.
Everybody immediately was like, it's coming to Switch. And you know, like, that community team at Blizzard just must have been like, oh my gosh, they don't understand what we're doing. We're just doing something fun with this little nightlight we have.
Yeah.
And then they had to issue a statement like, we have nothing to announce about Diablo on Switch. But my goodness, what a great idea.
Why put that out?
Yeah.
Well, it should happen.
Yeah, they have to do that.
They really need to do it.
The only thing I see standing in the way is Nintendo's online infrastructure.
Yeah, which stinks. And Diablo's such a good online game.
Yeah. You could do local co-op, but man.
I'd be happy just with that.
I know, but
that's how I've played it, is locally.
If I was at Blizzard, it'd be like, we want to give the full experience.
Yeah, which I can understand. Diablo 3 is still one of the great couch co-op games of all time.
Yep.
So, you know, certainly recommend that.
And it would be incredible on the go.
It'd be awesome on the go. And it's built for it.
Yep.
Yeah. And by the way, now, as a 5-year-old game, Diablo 3, it's probably perfect for the Switch hardware, which is about that equivalent.
Yeah.
So I bet it would run on Switch okay.
They have to do it.
I hope they do it.
Maybe that tweet, which was a mistake, got so many people riled up and asking for it that Blizzard maybe will make it.
Well, yeah, but if that's starting now, we're going to have to wait 2 years for them to port it over. If then, because it's Blizzard.
I can wait.
You'll have to wait, I think. What are they working on right now? What do we know? What do we know that they're doing at this minute?
Overwatch.
Yeah, okay.
Just
they're maintaining Overwatch, which I understand is a crazy cash cow for
them. I have a feeling everybody in the company is just looking at a monitor that just has the bank account on it.
Yeah.
And just the number going up as people buy loot crates.
Yeah, that could be. Overwatch got a new character today.
Brigitte? Yeah.
Not Bridget. Brigitte.
Yep. Brigitte.
Yes. What's she all about?
I have not tested her yet, but she is another support class.
Mm-hmm.
Tank? No.
Okay.
She kind of plays a little bit like a tank in terms of she can kind of armor up people, but she's another support class. Everybody thought we'd be getting another tank because they just added a support character in Moira.
Yeah.
But yeah, they keep funneling into that category, which is a little puzzling. You'd think we'd get more options other than just kind of shields. That seems what tanks are right now.
Where's World of Warcraft 2?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Right? I mean, why isn't Blizzard doing that as well?
That game's over, what, a decade old? 11?
Well, way more,
years?
I think. That's, you know, you'd think by now, you know, they'd think by now that somebody would have gone, hey, I bet if we rolled out an all-new World of Warcraft, that would be huge, and it probably would be huge.
What about World of StarCraft?
Well, that too. Sure.
Do that.
That would work. StarCraft, of all their still current properties, that's the one that I first personally I'm least interested in. I think it has probably been updated the most lately.
Yeah.
Because they had
just the standard issued games.
Yeah.
I don't know what else they're doing. They have Heroes and Overwatch.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't need to do anything else. Just keep people happy with those games,
that.
Right?
There's probably that. All right, well, let's dive into Pit People. Pit People is a Xbox and PC game that your reviewer, dang it, I always forget if it's Javi?
JV.
JV, dang it. JV. Gwaltney?
What's going on today, Church?
I don't know.
JV Gwaltney.
Gwaltney. So you say both the G and the W.
Yeah.
Gwaltney.
Mm-hmm.
See, if he ever came in and actually met him, then I would probably, at that point, I'd be forced to really learn his name. But
Like Ni No Kuni 2?
Yeah, it might be. It might be like Ni No Kuni 2. JV gave it an 8 out of 10 for Game Informer. I would give Pit People a 9.5 out of 10.
Well, get this. Our user review rating, yes, which collects user data and gives you an average, is at 9.25 out of 10.
Well, that's more like it. I think the users are on this correctly. The developer behind Pit People is Behemoth. These are the people behind Castle Crashers, which had a crazy long run, and people were playing years and years after its release.
Yep.
And it was silly, and it was fun, and it was co-op, and it did great business for a very long time. Mm-hmm. Castle Crashers did. Now we've got Pit People. It is a turn-based strategy combat game, just layered in silliness and absurd humor, zaniness. Here's the premise. You are a blueberry farmer who's busy fending off a cannibal attack when a cosmic bear kidnaps your son. Now, that's a good game. That's the premise right there. How about that elevator pitch?
That could actually happen in our world.
That could happen.
Yeah.
Blueberry farmer fending off a cannibal attack when a cosmic bear kidnaps your son. Now, the game, that's the sort of absurdity that is rife throughout this game. I'll give you an example. Your weapons will be things like broccoli, a sharpened candy cane.
Yeah, a sucker.
Your shield will be a floppy disk. You will have, I'm one of the starting weapons that you start with is a giant lollipop.
Yeah, because you go through, like, it's not completely random. One of the worlds you go into is like a circuit board, like you're in a computer, yes, or something.
Yep.
But there's also like, you go all across the world, right? Like every region.
All over
of the
this
planet.
Map, there's ice and there's deserts and stuff, and you go around this map. Yes. Which is great. But mostly at its heart, it is a cooperative, if you want, turn based hexagonal strategy game. Like XCOM, for example.
Right.
But it's way lighter and obviously fun, way lighter and funnier than XCOM, which is, you know, humanity being enslaved by aliens. Pit People is. It's funny and it's simple and approachable, where except for the UI, which is pretty daunting, unfortunately. But my daughter, 12 years old, we play and we like it a lot, and she plays it. It's here's an example of how much simpler it is. And by the way, one of the things that I love, it's cooperative, Reiner. So when the enemies all go simultaneously, so it doesn't go like if so there might be, let's say, 10 total people that are doing things. For like XCOM or other, basically every other turn-based strategy game, guy number one goes, then guy number two goes,
right,
and then guy number three goes. The way this works is all of the enemies go simultaneously, and now it's your turn. And then you and the person next to you, in my case, my daughter, we assign all of our movements at the same time. So I do my three people, she does her three people, and then it all resolves simultaneously.
Yeah.
And so it's much, much faster. And when I tell guy X, who, by the way, could be a gigantic muffin named Gluten, who is my healer, when I move Gluten from one hex to another hex, that's that's all happening at all the same time for every, you know, for all the heroes at the same moment, which I love.
Yeah, that's been the big problem with that genre, right? Like, you'd wait for the AI. You could almost see the wheels spinning in the AI's head as they'd move one troop after another. It's great to see it all react at once.
Yes. Now, a couple other things. The narrator is laugh-out-loud funny, and the storyline just riddled with absurdity. Easily one of the funniest video games ever made. Pit
now,
people.
JV kept telling me it's like Monty Python in its humor.
Yeah.
Are you finding that? Is it like the Holy Grail?
It's super dry. It's very dry humor. I think that part of it is great. You'll run into all kinds of crazy stuff. Aliens, robots, living mushrooms that you're going to fight against.
Spoilers.
Uzi wielding giraffe riders, cyclops, just all kinds of, you know, it's just boundless creativity in Pit People.
What are you playing on?
PC.
Okay, and it's also on Xbox One.
Yeah. Yes, it is on Xbox One, it is on PC. Which is terrific.
I'm seeing this a lot, by the way, lately. Games coming to both PC and Xbox. I don't know if that's the ease of porting over to Xbox One X.
Maybe.
That has developers coming over, but that has been a new narrative in the last few months. Seeing that happen a lot, and then eventually to like PS4 or Switch.
And you know what? God bless Xbox owners who've had to deal with so few exclusives.
Yeah, but they're still not exclusive.
Well, they're on PC as well. Yeah. But most console owners don't have a gaming PC, right? Can we agree on that?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, there's that. We'll take a break. When we come back, Ni No Kuni 2.
Oh, boy.
Revenant Kingdom. How's that?
Sound like Christopher Walken doing that.
I do, don't I? And then we've got some VR news. I want to talk about Will Wright's new game. There's a new Atari console coming.
Yeah.
We got all kinds of stuff to get to between now and the top of the hour.
This is Video Games Weekly on The Fan.
Welcome back to the show, Video Games Weekly, final segment of Video Games Weekly for the month of March. We will be back April 3rd with more stuff. I don't know what we're talking about yet, but we'll talk about something. Because that's the beauty of the video game industry. Is there something that's imminent, some big title that's imminent?
God of War is on April 20th.
All right.
So is Nintendo Labo.
What's that?
That is the new product coming out where you make things out of actual cardboard, like make objects, like a robot, kind of like playing with Legos. They give you instructions.
Okay.
And then it interacts with your Switch.
How?
You will be making things that have like levers and pulleys and stuff that your Switch can vibrate, or the camera on the Switch can sense. So you can actually make a fully functional piano that will play different notes. You kind of put the Switch in the back of it.
Yeah.
As you hit the cardboard keys, it knows exactly what you're doing.
Okay.
It looks like a really cool kind of kid-friendly, family-friendly product where you get the fun of building with Legos, but it's all cardboard. Like, Nintendo, I have a feeling someone at Nintendo is like, I bet we could sell them cardboard. These fans will eat anything up. Should we try it?
Yes.
And seriously, people are freaking out about this thing.
I don't doubt
it. It's going to be huge.
I don't doubt it. Did since we last had a show, Nintendo started to map out the game releases for this year. Super Smash Brothers is on it.
Yep.
That was the big highlight. But as we talked about last show, it looks like we're going to have a much quieter 2018 than we had in the launch year.
Well, here,
for the Switch,
Smash Brothers is going to be gargantuan, right?
It'll do great business.
Looks like a new game. We don't know that for certain yet. But all signs point to it. They didn't have like the old name. They just said Super Smash Brothers, right? Like a new rebirth for the series. There's also a new Pokemon game that they listed as 2018 or later.
Okay.
It's a very cryptic release date.
Yeah.
But that could be this year too. If they have both of those games, I bet you that Pokemon game sells more than maybe Zelda and Mario combined. People go bonkers for that series.
Well, that's great. And I think undoubtedly Pokemon will come to the Switch. 2018 or later, do you know what else is going to happen in 2018 or later? Everything. Every single thing is going to happen in 2018 or later. So they're telling us nothing.
Yeah.
I'm not cool with that. A couple of things I want to get to before we get into Ni No Kuni 2. Knowing you, you played
that was pretty good.
I've played
6 hours of it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. And I love that about you. I just want to touch on a couple other things. Good to have Will Wright back doing something, anything, right? His game is called Proxy, P-R-O-X-I. The concept is pretty trippy. At the outset, players have a blank world that they then develop by using memories as the building blocks to build your world. Players can choose any topic of memory that they want, like family adventures, for example, and then place that memory into the world, creating islands of connected memories that will form into 3D worlds. Okay.
That's one of those pitches I just gloss over.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'll take your word for it.
Right.
I'll try it when it comes out.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
What does that even mean? I don't know.
So after he made SimCity in The Sims.
Yeah.
This game creator, or what was the one, the big one that kind of fizzled out?
That would be Spore.
So yeah, Spore.
By the way, 10 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
For Spore.
After Will Wright made that, he went off and started creating robots. Like actual robots in real life. Like this guy is genius level.
Yeah, I think he is a genius.
And now he's back with this idea that I just do not understand.
But again,
I'll take his word for it. He's brilliant.
Who'd have guessed that SimCity would even be remotely interesting? Can I share my my SimCity story with you?
Sure. Oh, you're stretching for this one.
I am. Got to limber up for this. This is back when I was in college working at what was then called Software Etc. and would later be called GameStop Store Number 1.
I had no idea.
And this was in the basement of Southdale when there was a basement in Southdale.
Yeah.
And so I'm working there, before it was called GameStop, but it would ultimately become GameStop. And I was our resident Mac guy because I had a Mac back then, and that was I was in school and I had a Mac. And it was the 9-inch black and white guy.
Yeah.
And out of nowhere, this game shows up on one floppy disk called SimCity. Never heard of it. Never out for anything else. Came out for Mac first. I'm like, City Simulator? How boring is that? Ugh. Well, I'll try it. So, by the way, half the reason that I worked at Software Etc. back then is because you could check out games like a library.
Uh-huh.
So I'm like, well, okay. Instead of spending $50-$60 on every game, I will work there. I will be able to check out games, and that will ultimately save me money, and they'll pay me to do it. So that was my rationale. So I brought it home, and I'm like, this thing's awesome. So I tried SimCity on the day it came out, on the first thing it came out on, first platform it came out on, day one. And it would go on to be played by literally millions and millions of people. This is one of the very few things in this world that I was the first 0.00000000001% of the people to do, play SimCity.
Wow.
There's your story.
Here's a story on top of that.
Okay.
You either sold me a copy of The Adventures of Willie Beamish.
I may have, actually.
Or the next day, returned it for me when I said it didn't work, but I actually just wanted something else because I didn't like it.
You were that guy, weren't you?
I was.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed.
I remember The Adventures of Willie Beamish. Let's take a couple of calls. Is it Azul?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Azul.
How are you doing?
I hope you're not feeling blue.
I am not. I'm feeling like the name.
What's on your mind?
So I just wanted to tell you about a game at Up Down in Minneapolis, if you've ever been there. It's called Killer Queen, the 5-on-5 arcade game.
I've had so many people tell me this thing is awesome.
Yeah, no, this game is blowing up, and more cities are getting around the country. So people are going to traveling for tournaments. Just thought I'd pop the word out.
Well, tell people, 99% of listeners don't know what Killer Queen is, so why don't you explain this 5-versus-5 game?
So this game is, it's 5-versus-5, so it's all at the bar. You can't do it in person.
Right.
Or, I mean, you can't do it online. You have to do it in person. So it's basically like a game where you can win by three ways. Sounds confusing at first. You can either kill the other team's queen three times. Each team has a queen. everyone else's little drones, which are like OG Mario characters and run around and jump, they can either run berries into your beehive, or they can become a warrior, and that way you tap to fly. So it's sort of like underwater Mario for flying. And you land on top of people's head and kill them. It's one of those games you just got to play. If you ever play it like 3-4 times to get the vibe of the game,
yeah,
and then you're going to be hooked.
Yeah, it fits right in at Updown because I don't know if you've been to this bar before.
Yeah, it's called Updown. It's on Lindale in Minneapolis.
But it is all old arcade machines.
Right.
I think they have two new machines. One of those is Killer Queen. And the great thing about this game, it came out originally in 2013.
Right.
And is now just starting to pick up momentum and like appear in more arcades. And mm-hmm. It's kind of a mix between like, oh man, I don't want to, well, it kind of is like Smash Brothers, but it's like Joust.
Joust meets Mario.
Yeah. Yeah. It is super fun. It is the most played game at Updown. Like you will see crowds around this, not just the 10 people playing, but people watching.
Right.
And it's cool because they have the two units for the both five-player teams back-to-back so they can't see each other's screens. I've been to other arcades where they're right next to each other.
Right. But I think you'd want them, so you want them back-to-back, yeah, ideally.
Oh, you need them back-to-back.
I think you do. Thank you. Thank you, Zul. Appreciate chiming in. Hang on. Yep. I've got a giveaway you can consider if you're interested. There's only like 15 of these in the world.
Yeah.
The Killer Queen website shows all of the arcades you can go to, including Updown in South Minneapolis, Updown. And there's only about 15 of these things. That's it. How's this even a company? How do you even function as a company when there's only 15 people that have your arcade game?
I think it's made by two people.
I think it is made by two people. Still, that's kind of nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, it is such a little thing, but I love that it's getting such fanfare now.
Yeah, it seems like everybody who goes there comes back and goes, oh, you got to go play Killer Queen. Oh, my company went, 10 people from my company went over lunchtime and we all played. That kind of stuff. It's great. All right. Ni No Kuni 2.
Perfect. Reiner, you did it.
8 out of 10 by Joe Juba. So Joe mostly seemed to like it, although his review was predominantly negative.
Yeah.
But, sometimes the word count doesn't always reflect the score very well. You know, like, the preponderance of words are negative, but it's an 8 out of 10, which is mostly positive. So the gist of this is it's a kingdom simulator, and you're the king, and you start... It's a blend of a lot of different things, right? There's kingdom building, where you build, like, blacksmith and stuff,
yeah,
right? And then also, there's a combat element to it as well, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some role-playing in it, too.
Yeah.
So how do you blend all that together and have it turn into anything?
Well, it's mostly an RPG, and it's story-driven. So it starts out where you are this young kid named Evan, who's, 12, 13 years old. His father, who was the king, is assassinated.
All right.
And there's a coup in the kingdom, and this evil force is starting to take over.
Mm-hmm.
You are thrown out, against your will to survive, because they're going to come get you next.
Right.
You partner with someone from a different kingdom, or sorry, not a different kingdom, a different world that is actually teleported in. And this character is a 40-something president in a reality like ours. And when you first see him, he is driving into this metropolis, big skyscrapers, and he's the president, and he has this kind of escort, all these SUVs, black SUVs driving in.
Yeah.
As he's going in, he sees a missile go overhead. It detonates in the city. It's like a nuclear attack, takes out the entire city. He's thrown out of his car. He turns into energy and is teleported to to the kingdom. Wait for it, church, which is called Ding Dong Dell.
No.
Yes.
Is it really?
Yeah. Now, here's
the thing. I'm not playing this game. It's out.
This kingdom was created in the first game by Studio Ghibli.
Oh.
There
no
you
kidding.
Go. Okay.
All right.
They are not attached.
Fame.
They are not attached to this game now.
Oh.
But some of their artists and some of the people that were there jumped over to the development team of the game and are continuing to work on it. So it still has that flavor to it.
Okay.
Which is very distinct. If you've seen Spirited Away.
I have.
Howl's Moving Castle, it has those elements to it.
Okay.
So that is the focus of this game.
Are the little soot guys in it?
There are things like that, yes.
Okay.
Little minions that will help you.
All right.
Almost like Pikmin. You get dozens of them.
Okay.
But with that in mind, you and this president from a different reality are tasked, who, by the way, appears in this kingdom at a younger age, which is kind of interesting.
Okay.
You are tasked.
Well, if you get turned to energy and thrown back, you know, a few millennia in time, that's,
sure, maybe that's what happened.
Sure, that's going to happen.
But you're tasked to build, to form a new kingdom on the outskirts of the one you should probably be running.
Okay.
And to do that, you need to go recruit people. And that means exploring a huge open world. And as you're going across it, there's no random encounters. You can see all the enemies. You'll see higher level ones that you can engage.
Yeah.
It's very fast-paced combat, you know, hack and slash.
Is it turn-based? Is it?
Nope.
No, it's real. It's real-time combat?
Yeah, it feels really good.
Okay.
You have your little Pikmin minion guys with you that do attacks. You could tell them what to do. But as you're going through that, sometimes you'll run into armies. And as you run into them, it switches to an overhead view for combat where you are, it's not turn-based either. You are issuing commands to different legions. Like, so you have your archers, you'll have your swordsmen.
All right.
And you'll be going across the battlefield, kind of picking apart pockets of the enemy, you know, storming their castle.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of different components to it, and victory brings you vast rewards. And that could mean getting someone who can open a kitchen for you, or, you know, like you said, like a blacksmith to help you build your kingdom, give you better gear.
I bet my daughter's going to love this.
It is adorable.
Is
it's
really?
Beautiful. But as Joe said in his review, it has all these great ideas. It sounds really ambitious, right?
It's super ambitious. Way too.
But it never kind of hits the high level of what you want from those ideas. And that's why he was kind of like negative in it, where it's like, there's some really great stuff here, but they never really hit that level you want it to.
All right. So that part of it is unfortunate.
Yeah.
So it sounds like they're trying to do a lot. None of it great. Joe says the characters are totally forgettable and the narrative is pointless.
I disagree. From what I only played 6 hours. He finished it.
All right.
But I love the beginning of the game.
Really?
I thought it was really interesting. What I kind of built here.
How was the first one, by the way?
I adored it. I think it's sitting at like an 88 on Metacritic.
Wow.
But Game Informer's critic did not like it.
Who was that?
Kim Wallace.
Oh, Kim.
But, I mean, she thought it was okay. She gave it like a 7.5 or something.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed
it. What system was the original on?
PS3.
PS3? Mm-hmm.
And that was a very different game. Like, it didn't have the kingdom stuff.
Okay.
Combat was kind of turn-based, where you're issuing commands almost like to Pokemon.
Hmm.
They're the ones, these little critters are doing most of the attacking for you. They run in a different direction. I think it's the right direction for the series.
Okay. But maybe the next one, maybe Ni No Kuni 3 is going to be the best of the bunch. Christian, hello.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Yeah, no problem.
Hey, I was just calling, mention a game that's been sort of in early access right now that just came out maybe about a month and a half, almost going on 2 months now, called Battalion 1944. I'm not sure if you guys have ever heard of it.
I have heard of it because I've seen it come by on Steam before, but I have not played it. Tell me about it.
So Battalion 1944 is a World War II shooter that takes elements of past great World War II shooters, like from the 90s and the early 2000s, such as Medal of Honor, Allied Assault, Day Defeat, Call of Duty 1, COD 2, United Offensive. And it's trying to combine that nostalgia factor, and it's trying to relive it's trying to bring back that niche of competitive gaming where, which has been lacking in the past, it's been maybe about almost 10 years now.
Hmm.
Call of Duty 4 came out. And so I have about 400 hours logged into the game right now.
Jeez. Okay.
Wow.
And I've played in about 3 tournaments. And so, like, the game is already esports ready. The problem with the games right now, unfortunately, is the community is way too small and the player base is all high-level competitive players.
Oh, I bet. So if I jump in now, I just get slaughtered.
So this is what I'm saying for a lot of people that are trying to get into the game. Wait. Even the developers are trying to not push the game, market it right now because the state it's in, it's very esports focused. So the matchmaking isn't working too well because the player base is too low. So you'd wait like 15 minutes in a ranked match. And so, but like, it's for me, it's been really fun playing though because it it's not a game where there's progression. Well, there is a progression system. So there's war chests, there's cosmetic items that you can put up on sale on the Steam store. So kind of like Counter-Strike with the skins.
Okay.
So they're going to be kind of going down that realm. But it really focuses on just the basics of gunplay and player movement. And it has this very natural, fluid feeling playing. It's not clunky or anything. And it's been just wonderful playing for me. It takes also a lot of inspirations from Quake, and so Quake movements such as strafe jumping and all that stuff. So it's been really fun playing.
Hey, Christian, we're up against the clock and the top of the hour. No, it's okay. Thank you for calling in, though. I appreciate this. Battalion, for people who missed the game, it's Battalion 1944. It's only got mixed reviews, Reiner, 44%. Yeah. I'm looking at the Steam page, 44% give it a positive rating. But
people love it, though.
I think if you love the old World War II shooters of 10 years ago, 12 years ago, this sounds like it's right in your wheelhouse. So there's that. Reiner, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We'll have 1 week off for the Wild, and then we should be back in 2 weeks. And after that, it just depends on the Wild schedule.
Let's get back in our routine here.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you missed any part of the show, check out the podcast, Cafe and Fan and Man. I'm back in this chair in about 8 hours for the morning show. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
From the Holiday Station Stores Traffic Center, here's a look at the roads. Most of the area roadways still looking pretty good. Westbound on 94, 694, we had an earlier stall at Highway 169. That has been cleared. We have a lot of road work out there as well on 36th Street. The on-ramp is closed at 35W. Plus on 38th Street, the bridge is closed in both directions at 35W. On Franklin Avenue, the bridge is closed both ways between 35W and Portland Avenue. Plus 94 eastbound, we have overnight road work in the left lane between Snelling Avenue and Dale Street. And that's traffic on the Fan. This report is brought to you by Walker Roofing.
Did you sustain damage to your home's exterior in the storms last year? Walker Roofing is 3 generations strong and has been here for 80 plus years. No more broken promises. Many customers went with companies from out of state and they were left with unfinished work. Walker Roofing has reliable crews and can restore your home. To schedule a free estimate, go to walkerroofing.com.